It really was. It was amazing. And she brought me the word, and Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Feed my sheep." And again, he says, "Do you love me? Feed my lambs." And there is a sense of God touching us even in worship now. But there's a reason God fills us with his spirit. There's a reason he comes upon us. And it's not just for lekkerheid. It's to do. It's to go. It's to love the church. It's to build church. It's to be part of this. And actually, even in that, there's a reason he's doing that right now. So maybe, I'm hoping, that this morning is going to take us to that point where we refilled and envisioned to go and to do and to live out the filling of the Holy Spirit. So just, that was her word that she brought. And I feel like it did tie in with really what I want to share this morning. So, but anyway, we'll get there. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Ross. My beautiful wife, Margot, is running after our little kids. And my parents are in this congregation. Most of you guys know them. And we were here 8 years ago. Well, sorry, we were here for 8 years, and we left 8 months ago, 8-9 months ago. And man, with a heavy heart, with a heavy heart. Cape Town is amazing. God is there for us and my family. He's stretched me and grown me so much this year. It is ridiculous. Like, I've grown in so many ways, the areas I never even knew that existed in my life. But I love you guys. I carry you guys in my heart. There's something here in Mossel Bay when I come back. Just sitting in the elders meeting this morning, a guy's just walking in, I started crying. Because there's something special, there's something here. So we've been here for the week, we came back, we had a privilege of going to Israel for 2 weeks, and we arrived back last Saturday, and thankfully my parents looked after the kids. Mom and Dad, thank you so much. So if you saw those little kids running around at the back there, that was my kids, I'm sorry. You guys babysat for 2 weeks for us. But it was a real privilege of being able to go to Israel and just have an amazing time. And I might share one or two little stories about that. But really, I want to do what God wants to do this morning. I don't want to just share about a holiday, really. It wasn't a holiday. It was an equipping time. But I don't want to talk too much about that. But we came back on Monday, and I spent a week here. And I have a lot of friends here because we've been here for a while. I know most of you. And we've been intricately involved in many of your lives. And I, after this week, I saw like a lot of friends and did quite a lot this last week. But I feel pumped, like excited, like just seeing you, just touching you guys, talking to some of you, just drawing from you guys. I am so encouraged by what God's been doing here. And I just feel, I felt like God reminded me this, you know, in Corinthians, Paul says this. He says, "You yourself are our letters written on our hearts, known and read by everyone." You are those letters. So a large part of who I am and what I'm doing right now in Cape Town has been shaped by you guys over the last 8 years. A lot of the stories I tell, a lot of the experiences I have experienced and the things I share about now is actually you guys. Sometimes I change your name. Sometimes I don't. But there is something of you that I've carried with me. And you guys are these letters. You guys are these letters that have been read, not only there, but we've had a privilege of being able to travel a little bit. You guys are the letters that have been read into the nations. Your lives and your stories are changing people's lives. You guys get that? You understand how powerful that is, how amazing that is, what a privilege it is. Your stories, your struggles, where God has broken into your lives and he's brought restoration. We've seen healings. We've seen just God breaking into your lives, more of Jesus in your lives. Those stories change people's lives. And I want to encourage you guys. I haven't even started preaching yet. I want to encourage you guys. Don't stop. Don't stop. Because who knows? David and Barbara might have to go in a couple of weeks' time. Who knows? Eugene and Marissa might have to go in a couple of years' time. Hey? Who knows? Steve, you might have to go. What are you taking with you? What are you taking with you into the nations? What are you taking with you when you go? You're taking these experiences. You're taking life together. You're taking the testimonies of others with you. These letters. You are the letters that have been read. I want to encourage you guys. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. All right. Amen. Okay. Now we can go. No jokes. So the word I felt for this morning for Mossel Bay is really one I feel for the whole church, not just Mossel Bay. I feel for every congregation. I feel like this is a season. It's a timely word for this time of year, and it's coming through in the worship. It's coming through in the words. It's coming through in the meeting. It's here. And the title of my preach would be: Do not grow weary of doing good. Do not grow weary of doing good. And I'll unpack that a little bit. But maybe let's start with this. It says, Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, he says this. He says, 2 Corinthians 11, 2-4, he says, "For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I'm afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one who we proclaimed, or you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough." And there's something about Paul's heart there for the people. He's like, he's got this divine jealousy. And in a sense, how you guys have, most of you visitors, we're actually one church. The congregation I lead in Weinberg it's much part of you guys as the person sitting next to you. We're one church. And the same way that I lead that congregation and I've been exposed to you guys, I have that same divine jealousy for you guys. I've walked with you. I've had a relationship with you. I've got two little girls that you would have seen over the last 2 weeks that I love absolutely with all my heart. They're like, oh man, I told, just before we got back to seeing them, I was like pining for them. I was missing them so much. But you know what? As much as I love those little girls, unfortunately for me, I'm preparing them for another man one day. I'm preparing them to get married. I'm doing my best. Greg laughed. Don't laugh, bro. He's hoping his boys are going to marry them, yeah. But the truth is, I'm preparing these girls for marriage one day to actually commit them to another man, to his headship, his leadership. They're going to be his problem one day. Not that they are a problem, but I love them. And this absolute devotion to them is that same thing that Paul is speaking about here. I feel this divine jealousy. One, as a person that is going to walk you down the aisle, that you've been betrothed to this husband, I want to present you as a pure and spotless bride before Christ. So the same way I want to present them before their husband one day as pure and spotless, beautiful little angels. In the same way Paul's coming, in the same way in a sense I'm coming to you saying, I want this for you guys. And that heart leads sometimes to warning. And in a sense, that's what Paul does. He says, if you receive a different gospel, be careful. Be careful. And I want to share a little bit about that different gospel, but I'll get there just now. I call it the gospel of December. So it's an interesting gospel, but we'll get there. So as we know, though, the end of the year is fast approaching. And sorry, I'm a little bit sick, so I might just sniff or cough now and again. So just... Sorry, I got sick 2 days ago and I've got a bit of a, yeah. So the end of the year is fast approaching, and I know for most of you, I know for myself, I experience this as well. It's been a long, very busy, interesting year. And we get to this time of year and we're often very exhausted. And, you know, I used to run a lot. I used to do a lot of racing, and we have a saying, I used to have the saying, that races are not won up a hill, they won on the top of the hill. And what that means is when you're running, often guys will come running past you on the hill, and they get to the top of the hill, they got nothing left in them, and you just like trot past them, and they're like finished. You know, remember, you heard the story of the tortoise and the hare? You know? So there's something in finishing strong, because we actually are running a race, and December's not our ultimate goal. We spoke about that as elders. But we press forward for the hope set before us. But there's something of finishing strong which allows us to even in that time of rest at the end of the year, is to actually rest in Him, not out of Him. So that what often happens is we get to the end of the year and we're so kaput, we switch off. We actually begin, and Greg said it earlier, we actually begin to neglect the Spirit. We begin to neglect God in His moments. So my main scripture for this morning, and I really, if you don't take away anything other than this morning, take this scripture away and meditate on it. Just spend time on it and just meditate over it. Ask God to unpack it to you. And it's Galatians 6 verse 7 to 9, and says, do not be deceived. Which implies that we quite easily are deceived, right? It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap destruction or corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So there, for the very first time you see it is there. Let us not grow weary of doing good. Let us not grow weary of doing good. And sometimes we get to the end of the year and we get weary of doing good. We get weary of pressing into the Lord, and we just, like I said, we just want to switch off. And with that devotion, I feel like, well, my job is to remind you guys, what happens when you get to this time of year? What happens when you begin to feel like this? And the thing is, it's reminding us, the main thing Galatians is saying that, is what you sow, you will reap. So if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap death and destruction. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. So how do we sow to the Spirit, and how do we sow to the flesh? And it's a good question. Exactly that. How do we sow to the flesh? So in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 to 5, it says this: but understand this, in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self. Self. And it says a whole bunch of lovers. Then it says lovers of money. And it names them: proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Ooh. ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable. And then it carries on to say lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure. So how do we feed the flesh? We become lovers of pleasure. And I'm just as guilty. Come the holidays, come December time, it's my favorite time of the year. It is my absolute favorite time of the year. And that's why I say, I want to go back to that scripture in Corinthians. It says there, he's warning them against a different gospel. And I'm telling, this is why I call it the December gospel. Because what happens in December? What does December smell like to you guys? Raffles? There's one other thing for me. Suntan lotion, yes. And I'm not going to deny it. December is my favorite time of the year. I absolutely love it. Like I used to look forward to it when I was young. It's got good memories. I know some of us, this is not applicable to everybody, because if you live in Mossel Bay, I know some of you guys work twice as hard in December because all the holiday makers are down, yeah, and it's a busy time. But generally, December is a time of rest. We like to call it rest. We actually hide behind that switching off. It's actually just, we go blank. But for me, December, I love it. I absolutely love it. So that's the disclaimer. It's just, I do love it. It is, I'm just as guilty in this thing. And there is a balance to what I'm saying, but there needs to come this little warning of what happens in those times. What happens when you finish work and you go away and you isolate yourself for 2 weeks even? If you isolate yourself even just for 2 weeks, what happens if you're not pressing into the Lord in those times? What happens? See, this is what December says. It says, take it easy. It says, I've earned this. It says, take time off. Time to worry about me, my pleasure. Time to be selfish. Actually, that's what December, that's what it does. I mean, we can all I've deserved this. I'm tired. But actually what? You've deserved it. You're tired. I know, yes. We all are. But what is God saying? Where do you find your rest? Again, hear what I'm saying. It's not a time to switch off from God. Yes, it's time to take a rest. It is time to have a holiday. But where are we finding our rest? Where are we finding our rest? You see, the main thing is this. It's that gospel. This is what the enemy does. It takes the focus from out there, from Jesus, because that's where our focus should be, and he brings it to us. He makes everything about us. And actually, that very thing is the sin of Adam. It became about him. He wanted to know. He wanted to know. It's the very purest form of that thing. It turns the focus off God and off Jesus and off him, and it makes it us. It's actually the God of this age. It speaks about the God of this age, and it's a selfish, me-focused eye. And it works its way so sneakily into our lives. So sneakily. Like some of you guys aren't liking what I'm saying now. But it's the truth. It's the truth. It works its way into our lives, and it makes these times about us. When yes, we do need, like again, I'm going to keep on saying that. Yes, we do need a rest, but it's not about us. It's always about him. It's about him. So there's one massive revelation I had when I was in Israel now. And it was the weirdest thing. It wasn't like that moment in the garden tomb where Jesus was. It wasn't at where he died on the cross. It wasn't at any of those places. My moment, and we often spoke about, have you had your moment yet? Because like, this is a moment where God just hits you. And it's like, you just can't contain it. And my moment was sitting in the bus, the first day we arrived there, driving to a place called Tel Aviv. You guys know, you must have heard of Tel Aviv. It's the modern city, the modern capital. Well, it's not the capital, but it's the modern town of in Israel. And what Tel Aviv used to be, actually, it's old Jaffa or Joppa. And it's the port of Joppa. It was the only port in the whole of Israel. It's the same port, if you read your Bible, where Jonah left from, he fled from. Remember the story? You know the story of Jonah? It's the same port that Jonah fled to get away from God when he was meant, and then he gets swallowed by the whale, and you know that whole story. That's the port. It's the only port in Israel. And this incredible picture of how Tel Aviv is actually known as the secular capital. It's the secular capital of Israel. And Jerusalem is like the religious capital of Israel. And they have a saying that you pray in Jerusalem and you play in Tel Aviv. It's secular. It's very secular. It's like, it's hectic. You drive along the beachfront there and you feel like you're driving through Cape Town Promenade. But it's a party lifestyle. It's an easy lifestyle. It's actually incredible. And there's something in my heart just broke with this nation, this chosen nation of God that is so far, again, they do it all the time in the Bible. There's so many places they're doing it all the time. But again, they're sliding. They're sliding, compromise. And the picture of this is a port city that has a port that's meant to go out. The gospel was meant to go out from Joppa. It was meant to go out to touch the rest of the world from that place. And it doesn't happen. What happens is they open their gates and they begin to allow the world in. The gates change from focusing outwards to focusing inwards. And a gate that was meant to be one of export becomes a gate of import. And what happens? The world gets hold of Tel Aviv. And this city begins to change and begins to slide. And you see the effect of Tel Aviv beginning to actually happen in Jerusalem. It's beginning to pollute and poison the whole nation in a sense. And it's really a picture of the church today, actually. How there are gates all over, in a sense. And what we allow in begins to affect what God's called us to do, actually. And it's also a beautiful picture of what we do in our own lives. Is how God has called us to focus outward. As soon as we become focused inward, it's about our comfort. It's about us. It's about me. It's about I. And that is the dangerous thing. I actually call it a demonic doctrine. It's the doctrine of Satan. You know that the Satanists have a saying, do as thy wilt. You know that song, you know that saying, do as you want? It actually comes from that. And that's their slogan. is do as I want, not God, me. It's interesting that, eh? So just taking the focus of God can lead to such destruction. And again, I mean, here's Paul warning us, like, absolutely, so wholeheartedly saying, I'm warning you against anything other than what I've preached. And he's preaching actually suffering, Jesus focused, but as soon as it becomes focused inwards, it begins to lead to destruction. I've got many stories, I mean, just how Israel has just done this through the ages, how they began to build altars because it was comfortable for them and not do things God's way. I'm kind of getting a bit off track. So I've got a question for you. There's a good question. So another analogy. I've got lots of stories and analogies. I like those. A few scriptures. Keep it simple. Then I'll tell you lots of stories. So how many of you guys lose weight between Christmas and New Year's? Anyone? No. Check is like one or two people. Oh, yeah, whatever. It's an interesting analogy then. Why? Because food's good. Spending time with the family, turkeys, lots of turkeys, gammon, lamb, pudding, Christmas pudding. It's a good time. What is that picture of? That kind of represents the season for us, actually, that week. And we don't lose weight. We pick up weight. Why? Because we're actually indulging in lekkerheid. Which is okay. I mean, hear what I'm saying. There's a parallel between these things because when we neglect the spirit, we feed the flesh. I'm not saying please, just don't walk away here and think, we can't. What I'm saying is there's a parallel. There's something deeper to this. Is yes, have your Christmas pudding, enjoy yourself, pick up weight. That's fine. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying do not neglect the Holy Spirit. Do not neglect Jesus in this time. Because when you come back at the beginning of the year, it's going to be difficult to get started again. Have you ever tried to kickstart a motorbike that's cold? No. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it was it though. So, Jacobus on the farm. Winter morning, haven't used the bike the whole week, and you try to come and kickstart that motorbike. It doesn't want to start. Why doesn't it want to start? Because the oil, it hasn't been running. It hasn't been running for a while. It's cold and seized up. And in a sense, it's actually that oil represents the Holy Spirit in us. Is if we're not spending time lubricated in the oil, lubricated and intimate with Him, we're going to be difficult to start at the beginning of the year. And for you as a congregation, you want to start the year running because God has called you guys. I mean, a lot of you actually don't recognize. In 8 months, this church is almost feels like it's doubled. You guys are growing. Something, God's doing something. So if you guys have been called to take this region, to take this town, to take this city for Him, there can't be that inward focused me. It's got to be Him because He's called you guys to do something. So that's even in this time of rest, how and what are we doing? Maybe, one more story of just, I fell victim to this once. My wife. So there's a place, again, about holidays. It's my absolute favorite place in the world. It's down the coast. It's close to a place called Eersterivier. A couple of you guys might know it. It's called Obos. And I grew up going on holiday there. It's like paradise for me. It is like paradise. So when I get there, I become a kid again. I'm 10 years old. My wife thought, what got into me? she had never been there with me before. And we went there, it was a good couple of years ago, we went there. Friends of ours have a place there, and we went there for a week. And, you know, this relationship between me and my wife is actually a reflection of my relationship with God. Okay? We are His bride. He's the bridegroom. She is my bride. I'm the bridegroom. There is a correlation of so many different pictures of how this works and how it reflects that as well. That's a reflection of God's love for His people. And for me, she is, in a sense, what you would call my earthly first love. There's nothing else on this earth that's more important to me than my wife. Not even my kids. My wife. My wife is my first love, not my kids. That's a whole nother preach. But who's my ultimate first love? Jesus, God. So we get to this holiday, and I love fishing. I love spearfishing. I love the beach. I love December. Woo-hoo. And we get there, and I like MIA. I disappear. On the rocks, getting bait because tonight fishing is going to be good. We, like, I'm gone. And she's just like, where you go? I'm like, no, like, it's just look how amazing it is. The conditions is amazing. And, anyway, so that's like the first night. And then we kind of get through this holiday and it's a little bit like bumpy along the way. And I can check my wife's not lekker. She's not happy with me. My brother and his wife are also there, and she starts complaining to them about me. And she's like, listen, you need to talk to your brother. He's like, what's going on here? So we have a sit down with them. My brother's just shaking his head going, oh my goodness, you're blind, bro. And, what I had done is even when we would spend time together, I was distracted. I was like, we would be talking, sitting on the beach, hanging out, and I'd be like looking at the conditions or waiting for this, like, the tide to come in so I could go fishing or something. And it just robbed us, actually, of the most amazing week that it could have been together. It robbed us. I robbed us. Because I allowed myself to get distracted. And it actually, we had to work through it. I had to adjust big time because I was wrong. I'd neglected my first love. I'd neglected this intimacy of this relationship because I'd got so distracted. And it's actually a real good picture. It's like you work hard, you think, okay, cool, now it's my time. I want to go golf, I want to go surf, and you neglect your family, but actually they need you, and you need to be spending time with Jesus. So it's just this reminder of what God, of what he's calling us to. A reminder of this time, this season, of this place. So the lie is this, if you look at that scripture, it's, if you focus on yourself, you'll be okay. That's the lie. That's why it says, do not be deceived. Because the lie is that, if you focus on yourself, you'll be okay. Who should you be focusing on? Him. You should be spending, there should not be a neglecting of that intimacy with him. You see, I'll just give you a quick few examples. You know, it's quite lekker to work in December. Well, December is quite a quiet time, church-wise. Like, pastorally, there's not a lot of problems, issues. Meetings all closed down. It's quite rustig. Then January starts up and the problems come. Why do the problems come? Because all of a sudden there's a lot of pastoral issues in January. Why? And I've been thinking, it's because people aren't spending time with Jesus. They allow themselves to get distracted, and they actually fall into the traps of the world. I have a lot of young friends. We often used to talk about this. Is that time of year, like young single guys. Let's give you an example. Young single guys. They're not spending time with Jesus. So it's, remember, the enemy's clever. He knows when you're not spending time with Jesus. You become a soft target. They'll go to the beach. Ooh, what's on the beach? Lots of young girls. It's a true story. It's a true story. Their eyes begin to wander a little bit more than what they would normally have all of a sudden. And they begin to give in to the lusts of the flesh because there's no intimacy with Jesus. Because if they'd be spending time with Jesus, the Holy Spirit convicts them, and they're like, whoa, okay, no, I shouldn't be doing it. I'm not saying the temptation doesn't come, but you're more susceptible in this time. Young girls. It's a true story. What happens to the young girls? When Pity's cousin comes to visit, he's actually a stand-up guy. He's a real smart boyky from Poch. True story. No, just kidding. And yes, you've been wanting a boyfriend. You have a desire for just to be loved. And this guy's, he's a good guy. Smart. Studying to be a doctor. It's a good catch. He doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, though. He's not saved. But you begin to compromise. Because you see something there that you actually like, but you haven't been spending time with Jesus, so you're susceptible in your emotions. You begin to give yourself to this. Before you know it, you're caught in this thing. Now, I'm just giving you a few examples. There's tons of examples. There's one for married couples, too. You have, all of a sudden, extended family coming to visit you. You don't see very often. You've got some insecurities because you were brought up in a specific type of way or whatever. And there's insecurity. I mean, we've all got our insecurities, let's be honest. There's some type of insecurity in you starts to get rubbed the wrong way by Auntie Betty from Betty's Bay. And now the whole family is in the house together because they've come to stay with you guys for the holiday. And it's like this boiling pot of what happens over the holidays. And you've got an opportunity right there to be Jesus in the moment, to reflect Jesus to them, to love them because they might not know him. Or you fall victim to the enemy because you haven't been spending time with Jesus. And it happens so quickly, so quickly. I promise you, my wife's house, they got a holiday house in Strasbourg, and we go there and the whole family comes together. And if I'm not really finding the Holy Spirit, it can be very difficult. we come after like, we're like, sure, that was hectic. Because that's what it can be like, spending time with family you haven't seen the whole time. But it's because there hasn't been an intimacy with Jesus and an intimacy in the Holy Spirit, and you're not allowing him to flow through you. You've begun to rely, you've actually switched off. You're hearing my heart. It's good. It's good stuff, eh? John says this in John 15. He says, abide in me and I'll abide in you. It's just Jesus speaking. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. If we're not abiding in Jesus, we're not going to be bearing fruit. We're not going to be bearing fruit. We've got to keep asking ourselves, how can we be Jesus in this moment? If we stop watering that plant, it's going to shrivel up. Jeremiah says this, he is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Now this word is not just for December. This word is in season all the time. Because if we are not planted next to the river of life, we are not going to be bearing fruit. It is a reminder, it's a call back to your first love. It's a call back to that which God has called you for. And I'm trusting this morning, I'm really trusting for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in some of your lives. Because I know you guys, some of you are tired and you're weary and you've trudged through the year. You feel like you're walking uphill, like, if I can just get to the top of this hill. But it's, what if you get, what then? What when you get to the top of the hill? So maybe we can do this. That's it. That's all I want to share with you guys. But there is something that God wants to do, and I felt it in worship as well. It started in worship. There is something of the Holy Spirit, of a refreshing and a renewal that he wants to do. But before we get there, I think you can come up so long, Francois.